All right, let's talk to our sports business guru, a friend of the program, Rick Haro, who's with us each and every Thursday. As I see Tiger walking out toward the tee, getting ready to tee up. Rick, are you at Pebble Beach? Where are you nowadays?
I will be. I had a meeting in Baltimore with the Cal Ripken Foundation board, went on a tour of all of his facilities. Then I'm either going to take a sharp stick and gouge my eye out or go to the Blue Jays Orioles tonight. I'm not sure which is worse. I'll be there tomorrow.
All right. Well, so, if you're going to Camden Yards tonight, which is still a lovely area, I still like it down by the Inner Harbor, but are you sitting with Peter Angelos? Are you sitting, what are the accommodations? What is the incentive for you to go?
Spent the day with Cal Ripken. I'm doing a couple of TV things. And I decided to kind of, I've been around a lot of people, been jostled by crowds and stuff. So I decided to be by myself and wear better than an Orioles.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess if you hang around with Cal Ripken all day, you're almost obligated to go see an Orioles game at the end of the day.
But you know what? Seriously, though, he must be pissed the way what has happened to the organization, right? I mean, he can't be happy.
Yeah, well, you know, he's above all that. Kind of, it's hard to engage in that. It's just one of those things you kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that this is one of those situations where you see Derek Jeter. I'm not going to say it on his behalf because he's above all this. But you see, you know, Derek Jeter running and in control of a team that he has no legacy with in Miami, and that team's not doing well. And then, you know, Cal is Baltimore.
Yep.
You know, Cal Ripken Way is the street that heads into Camden Yards. And his foundation, on behalf of his dad, has done 85 fields and helped 1.5 million kids. And so that's the board that I'm on. And the point is, he's way beyond and better than being in a position of, being associated with the team that you count arms and legs, and you'll come up with 2,500 tonight.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. Rick Haro's with us. With the golf and the U.S. Open that's going on, with the 119th U.S. Open, Fox has been doing this since, 2015? Every year they kind of have a little bit of new technology, a little new bell, new whistle with their broadcast. Anything new that I can expect other than Joe Buck droning on over the background of the broadcast this weekend?
Yeah, you and I agree on that, by the way, but all right, so we have swing speed, ball speed, smash factor, and their new ways to measure carry distance. Now, you know, for me, I'll rely on a worm burner with overspin, so carry distance doesn't really help. So it's like, it's great to see the pros do it, but then you confirm how you're not capable of this. And the courses are playing fairly benign, judging by the early scores. So,
yes.
You know, my street mate, Ricky Fowler, is tied for the lead, which, by the way, that would make some dramatic viewing independent of what Tiger does.
And we were talking about how easy the course seems to be today. I know the weather has something to do with it. The greens are soft. But I got to imagine that this is going to change. This is a record pace here for under par scores, Rick, and I don't like it. I don't like seeing this tournament where it's this easy right now. It should never be this easy. But the moaning and bitching and kvetching that these guys have done the last few years, at least for this round anyway, it's gotten to the USGA officials, because this is playing like, just your average everyday course, guys, at 5-under. It's ridiculous. I don't like it.
Well, and let's remember, you know, the first 3 days, it was Koepka and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Remember, the first 3 days in eastern Long Island were kind of almost the same way until the weather took over. So I'm hoping there is the global warming changes the world in the next 2 days, and it's the mother of all tornadoes. It floods the place, and then at the end of the day, you know, you have to end up playing and continuing. It ain't happening, but we can always hope.
No. Rick, talk me through your thoughts of Kevin Durant, the irony of the injury with his pending free agency. I mean, the NBA changed overnight with that injury. At least I think it did. Mm-hmm. But then there might still be some teams willing to pony up almost a quarter of $1 billion for this guy, even though he can't play next year.
Quarter of $1 billion. What does he do concerning the dead year? It's his option. So does he use it and sit and, you know, charge the Warriors with those dollars? You know, I don't know. I mean, I would think that the part of the deal would be wrapped into some huge package and then a trade as part of the overall deal. But it's changing the NBA overnight. You hear all of these stories about, you know, the Achilles and what's going to happen. The end of the day, did he risk? Did he play? Should he have played? What about the team doctors? You know, nobody knows the advice that he got, and the doctors are not going to start talking about what he was privately told the day of. But I would say that, you know, injuries are a part of the game, but at this level, this is something that nobody had assumed. And, you know, the character of what he was going through is incredible, and especially the perspective of what the Warriors did at the end of that game, although you could say that the Raptors gave it away. Hard to believe the Warriors could actually win two more without KD, but, you know, you never know. I guess that's why you watch.
Well, if you were his agent, what would you advise him to do? To opt to take the $31 million and then, you know, go for the big money? Or, as we know, you can get the if somebody like Dolan, who I would imagine would still chalk up the $256 million max, does he go for the 4-year, 146? I mean, what would your advice to him be if you were his agent?
Well, again, a lot of it depends really on how the doctors would give him some real comfort as to does he play at all this year? Probably
no,
not. Obviously.
No, I think that's been confirmed. No. That'll be confirmed by the end of the day that he will not be able to play at all next year. So
I
taking that
right.
into account.
So I think we're, yeah. You know, so at the end of the day, the obvious answer, too, is, you know, with the TV dollars and the effect of the cap, you know, what is that going to mean as far as 2021, 2022 season? And, you know, he has the money in hand, and that's part of his negotiation. That's his business. And so, you know, the more interesting thing to me is what do the Warriors do and he does relative to next year, too. And I can't give you an answer because I don't know yet. I would hate to see him end up in a Knick uniform because the Knicks are a place on the way to hell.
Did you see the New York Daily News front page today? I don't know if you saw it. It just had a picture.
No, did it have his picture?
It had a picture of Durant, you know, holding his ankle, and it said, Knicks lose game 5.
The Knicks.
The Knicks.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's why you don't go to New York, right?
Right.
That's a good example of why you end up in, you know, maybe he goes back to Oklahoma City and plays on one leg. Mm-hmm. How about that?
By the way, Tigers just popped his first drive on number one.
Great shot.
Right down the middle. Mm-hmm. Right down the middle. A nice iron shot. Tonight is the last of the last, finally, at the Oracle. I mean, we've been hearing last conference game, last play, regular season game, last first-round playoff. Finally tonight, no matter what happens, it'll be the last of the last. And I think tickets are going for about, I don't know, what's
12? 40? Yeah, a lot of money. But Rick, have you been? I'm sure you have. Have you been to the Oracle? Are you in
a lot.
Close
no,
to
a
the
lot.
Ownership there?
Yeah. Listen, in the Rick Barry underhanded free throw days, what are you
right.
talking
wow.
about? I mean, I was there when the basket was 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
That building will be a testament to the city of Oakland and how they continue to lose assets.
Yeah.
I know the Raiders will. You know, they kind of got a good gift of an extra year there, but they'll be gone. The A's, unless they can come up with something, they'll be gone. And, you know, the city of Oakland, which is basically a fairly small city on the contiguous to a big one on the other side of the bay, will very soon go from 3 sports franchises to, unless they watch themselves, none.
Mm. Yeah, that's incredible. That really is. How about your thoughts last night on the St. Louis Blues finally winning their first championship ever? I'm sorry Pete Shepard's Boston Bruins could not get it done in Game 7, but I'm really not that sorry because I didn't want to see yet another parade in Boston. Although you might have liked to, so you can go on over to Harvard again, but, you know.
I'll go to Harvard on my own. Don't tell me what to do. I can figure out my own deal. All right. You got to worry about Shepard because the last time I checked, you know, he had no neck and he's stronger than you. So, you know, you got to make sure that you guys have some harmony, okay? So I feel sorry for all of my Boston Bruins fans because, you know, they had the opportunity in St. Louis to step on it, win it at home. They realize what it's like when you take things for granted. And then I think the Bruins should have realized the same thing. And you watch, it's not just Binnington who is amazing, but you watch the Bruins after that first goal, and it's like, oh my God, we're at home, we're down, we're pressing too hard. And I know this is a loss that'll live with them for a year or two or more, and everybody says, what a wonderful year to get here. Who cares? I mean, you get there, either win or you don't, and they didn't win. But no. Good for St. Louis because they have nothing to look forward to in the center of the country, and this helps. They lose their football team. Their baseball team is going to get slammed by the Cubs. They are in Tornado Alley, so they deserve a break.
Okay. All right.
Well, but I do think Bennington deserved a little bit more of the Conn Smythe Trophy than Ryan O'Reilly.
I agree.
He was a man. Kind of, they're being outshot 15-5 in the second period, and the Bruins were totally dominating. He did what Tim Thomas did to Vancouver in 2011, almost the exact same scenario.
By the way, that's a very fair comment, and it is hard to imagine I guess Bennington was evaluated based on, a couple of games, and O'Reilly had the more scoring than anybody could have imagined, so you see that as well. But I was kind of surprised at that. If there were ever a year where mathematically you could work it out as Conn Smythe trophy winners, this would have been it.
Yeah, I agree.
Rick Horrow's with us, our Sports Business Insider. All right, let's talk about women's sports for a moment because we sure enjoyed that 13-0 blowout of the
no,
women's.
No, we didn't. Craig yelled obnoxiously it. Goal every. I mean, just trying to be Enos Kanter.
Wait. It was Shepard, awful. Did you think that the Americans should have taken their foot off the gas?
No.
What are you saying? You're not a boss. I mean, Bostonians don't think that way. If we're 20, it should have been 20. If we're 30, now I had the U.S. and I gave 12, so I was okay.
Well, I gave 5. I took the plus 5.5 like a knucklehead.
That was over early, man. No, you were dead. You were dead with like 44 minutes left.
No, I have no problem with that or at all. I think some people had a problem with maybe the excessive celebrations, maybe after it was like 7-0. But other than that, you're trying to score goals. What are they supposed to do? Stand out there at half pitch and do nothing?
And also, big countries are on Earth to pound small countries and to celebrate.
That's
right?
Good.
And that's, what are they supposed to do, right?
But Rick, the funny thing about the – because as it was going on, and Chris had given me who Thailand had beaten or lost to the last four games, and they're relatively close in women's soccer. France 4-1. Nothing was, overly dramatic. Then after that game, I go, you got to look up and see, how did they qualify? Who did they beat? They beat Indonesia 13-0 to get in. So how bad is Indonesia? And then we find out that Thailand's ranked 34th in the world. So they're actually countries worse than Thailand.
Yeah, I understand. And frankly, I think the next game, if we really want to feel good about ourselves, then we ought to schedule a friendly against Indonesia and beat them like 40-0.
I don't know how good Chile is, but...
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But, the point was exactly right. The goal differential, what would have happened if you looked at it? And we saw that Sweden had beaten Thailand ultimately, it's 15-0. So it's like, why didn't we do it? So nobody should have any trouble with anybody celebrating. That's what you do in school when you see somebody drop a pencil and you kick them and then you celebrate, right?
Wow.
Are
a bully.
Yeah, well, plus in the World Cup, goals count. That's a tiebreaker rule.
Goal differential.
So this is what it is.
Well,
right.
But to my original point, women's sports, we're interested in the women's soccer team much more than the men's. The LPGA seems to be on the rise. We got a big kick out of watching the Women's College World Series and UCLA and all that. Now, the WNBA just seems like it will never catch on. But overall, seems like there's a market for women's sports.
Well, but here's the thing, and we'll see in July 8th and beyond, and it's a classic argument. Do we like this because this is a one-off international event, or do we like it because we're sponsoring women's sports? Now, when you take a look at the numbers, obviously the ad money for this is well ahead of projections. Fox was talking in 2015 about $40 million in ad sales, projected $17 million. They're talking about 10 to 14% more than that this year. So we understand how valuable it is to see the American success story here, plus, women succeeding on the pitch against the world's best. But let's see if it translates into, ongoing sponsorship. I certainly hope so. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. Well, certainly the women's World Cup team, they're better than the men. I don't know if the men can beat anybody lately. They can't lose to Jamaica. They lose to Venezuela. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but certainly I think the U.S. women's soccer team, you can make a case that they should be paid as much as the men. Right now, I think they're a lot more popular. They're the number one team in the world, and you can make a case. The hockey players have already, a lot of them have already reneged on that little argument we had, they said about a month ago. A lot of them are like, no, wait, we're just going to go back to our teams and keep our mouths shut. There's nothing really, we're never going to make anything close to NHL money. But Women's World Cup soccer may have a case.
Well, look, the 2015 amount for the Women's World Cup, a prize fund was half of what it is today, $30 million with the winners getting four. Well, again, not enough, but it's double. Now, contrast that, the men's side, $400 million for the 2018 World Cup, and the winner getting 38 versus four. So it's not even close. And FIFA, you know, I guess you could argue is moving in the right direction, but the disparity was so much to begin with. You know, unlike the tennis majors where they're paid equally, golf majors where they're both moving in the right direction, and you see the difference.
Rick, you being a lawyer, I have a lawyer question for you. I saw that the Iowa Cubs minor league team, they're going to go ahead and increase the netting around the baseball field and try and avoid any future problems with foul balls and injuring fans. Are you comfortable as a lawyer with the writing on the back of a ticket that relieves blame and liability just because it's printed on the back of the ticket that you're there at your own risk? Is that strong enough to hold up and keep teams from getting sued if people start getting killed from foul balls?
No. Now, after I paid back my student loans, I was thinking of what did I actually learn substantially at Harvard, and it wasn't much. But one of the things that I realized is that one of the classic things in tort law is that there's called something called assumption of risk. This is a good case, back of a ticket. You don't assume the risk of gross negligence. So that means that if you do something that's really bad, then you say, you know, we do something that's really bad, and you see it anyway, and we can write that we're not liable, therefore we're not liable. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, as far as the netting is concerned, if you're making some reasonable efforts to change things around after you see something, even if it's a freak injury, you can be sued. I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of liability to it, but everybody looks like they're trying to figure out how to solve this. But, by the way, it is structural in a lot of places. So they're going to start doing something next year. The Iowa Cubs did it now. Kudos to them. But they've got to figure out a solution that will improve on today. And there are a lot of – you can't just take Band-Aids and Scotch tape and move the nets around. In a lot of these places, you got to change kind of the structures of these big poles where the nets are. So they'll – do some things, just doesn't happen overnight.
And then just to piggyback on that a second, as far as, you know, places that have signs that says we are not responsible for lost items, is that you can fight that in a court of law and win, can't you?
Yeah, and by the way, if you buy a ski lift ticket, and you know the ski lift kind of falls off of the thing and hurts you.
Yeah.
Just because of the back of the ski lift ticket, you say you assume all risks. Well, this is not one of those normal risks.
Yeah.
So the answer is you assume certain ones, and you don't assume other ones, and this is not one of those that you assume. So the invoice is coming. It's to both of you. It'll be based on ability to pay,
thank
so I'm
you.
Not wasting my time.
Is that $450 an hour?
I'm not
right?
sending you anything because I don't want to see what happens when you try to go into your pocket and you see nothing.
On that note, tell Cal Ripken I said hello, and we will speak to you next week. Thank you.
Have fun, Rick.
Wow.
All right.
Ready. See you next week.